Well, hello there. This is
Hello.
Tanya Isley, and welcome to another edition of Diversity Discourse. This week, we're brought to you by Comcast Rise. Comcast Rise is supporting the growth of all small businesses and entrepreneurs committed to uplifting their local communities. Comcast Rise, which stands for Representation, Investment, Strength, and Empowerment, is a grant program built to help businesses and their communities thrive with a focus on economic growth. With the recent announcement of 500 new recipients, the program has awarded 13,500 small businesses to date with over $125 million in monetary, marketing, and technology grants. Comcast has developed an interactive map of Rise recipients in your community to make it easy to find Comcast Rise businesses near you. Go to www.comcastrise.com or click the link in the caption and show your support this holiday season and beyond. All right, friends, if you're ready, let's get started. Joining me today is Kai Fuentes. Kai is the president and CEO of Ebony Marketing Systems, a certified MWBE multicultural marketing research firm. And we're going to talk about the impact her business is making on other MWBEs and the generations of entrepreneurship in her family. All right, let's do it.
Welcome to Diversity Discourse, the official podcast of Minority Business Entrepreneur Magazine. This is the space where we create meaningful conversations around supplier diversity, diverse business entrepreneurship, and diversity, equity, and inclusion with some of the industry's most engaging and successful entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and experts. Now, let's get started with today's episode.
And we'll kick it off. Give me a short description of Ebony Marketing Systems.
Yeah, so we are a women-owned, minority-owned, multicultural market research firm. So we specialize in qualitative and quantitative research, focus groups, surveys. Our company is the liaison between the actual consumer and the end client company. So, you know, we help with product improvement, product placement. So if there's something that, you know, companies want to test before they bring it to market, they will come to us. In particularly, we work specifically with the multicultural markets, meaning Black, African-American, Latinos, in the AAPI communities.
So and then help me out a little bit, because I may be wrong, but the company was actually founded by your mother, correct?
Yeah. So back in 1980 something, my mom started her market research firm, which is the same firm that I'm in. But in 2010, my mom retired from the industry completely, and she moved on to her, which apparently was her real passion and calling, which was being a person of the cloth and faith-based, working with faith-based communities. And that was a burning desire for her for many years while she was running this business. And I think she had a passion for market research too, but eventually her spirituality passion kind of took over. And she realized that this was something that she didn't want to do anymore. So she went from helping companies to helping souls. And in 2010, she retired. And then 2011, I opened my own shop, which is kind of like the sister or the child, if you will, of my mom's company. And for me, I had to open my own because it was a demarcation for me as being president and coming into my own as a business owner. So that's why there's a little, you know, pause there.
Do you sometimes, for people who remember your mother being in the business, do you sort of find yourself like being in her shadow?
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because the first part of my career, you know, as I was a business owner, as I was learning to run the business, I wasn't out networking or anything like that because of that actual fear of people knowing me and comparing me to my mom. My mom's a force. Her personality is a force. She's really a force of nature. You know, I don't know how to describe her. I can't put her in a box. I don't want to put her in a box. She's a different kind of chick. So, you know, for me, that was intimidating. For a long time, I was intimidated of that power. But after I became a mom, and after I learned how to become my own business owner, I realized that I didn't have to walk in anybody's shoes but my own. And I was the only person that was putting that label on myself, that, I'm Ebony's daughter and I'm walking in her shoes. No, Kai has her own pair of shoes that she can walk in. And there's a lot of things that I learned from my mother that I do in business, and there's a lot of things that I learned not to do. Yeah, I had to find my own voice. And now that I found it, I'm all out and about.
So you mentioned there are some things you learned from your mother. What would be the most significant thing you learned from her?
So many. There is, it's so many. Never give up. Keep moving. If you stay still, you get run over. So keep striving, keep moving, keep being better every day and challenging yourself. Like I've seen, she's challenged herself multiple times, and every time I've seen her challenge herself, it just upped her game. And for me, that's kind of like a big learning lesson too, that you never give up. Because it's one of those things where it's like right before you give up, that's how it is in small business. Sometimes you're under pressure and you're stressed out, and it's like, oh hell, why am I doing this? Let me just go get a job. Let me just, what is this all about? Can someone please tell me why, who came up with this bright idea for running a business? But it's like, as soon as you think you're going to give up, the skies open up and the sun comes out. So it's like, you never know what's around that next corner. So just hang in there. So I learned how to hang in there. And I learned how to never give up, and I learned how to be creative. Small business owners, we are very creative, honey. And I learned how to be creative. Yeah. And there's so many more, so many more, but that's like the one that's really, I don't know if you know this poem. This was in my mom's office for many years. And my favorite part of it is, success is failure turned inside out. The silver tint of clouds of doubt. And you never can tell how close you are. It may be near when it seems so far. So stick to the fight when your heart is hit. It's when things seem worse that you mustn't quit. There's been times where I've actually gone and applied earlier on in my career. I'm like, I don't even know what I'm doing this for. Let me go. And I've gone and applied and then gotten a call back and then never showed up to the interview because I was like, this is dumb. What am I doing? So my plan A is my small business. My plan B is my small business. My plan C is my small business. But when you're on the other side of it, it feels good. It feels good when you're on the other side. And to me, there's nothing like, when you have your small business and you're working on stuff for you that fits your passion, that is directly impacting you and your family and your community. That's the best high, quite honestly, there is, right? Where it's like, oh yeah, I'm really killing this game.
So tell me, what makes Ebony Marketing System so special, or what sets it apart from the competition?
So my stance on competition is our only competition is ourselves, period. I'm almost like a horse running in a race. I don't look to the left, I don't look to the right, I look straight ahead, and the straight ahead is what Ebony is doing and how are we upping our game. With every project, with every year, with every month, with every day, how are we upping our game? What sets us apart, though, is the ability to be nimble. One, the fact that we attacked every project with integrity and creativity, and the fact that we have the experience. And I say to folks all the time, we have the expertise, the excellence, and the experience to do this. And that's really what sets us apart. And we're also great customer service folks. Like, we know the clients that need a little bit more handholding than others, and that's okay. And we're here from that for that. And that individual attention that people get from us is paramount to also lead to the success of the project. So I think it's a whole bunch of things. And it's come from the top, really, for me. Setting those boundaries for our people and letting them know that, like, that's kind of how things go down around here. And that comes from my background in growing up in this business and understanding truly how it works.
So, and let's talk a little bit about integrity, because I know you want to talk about that a little bit. Why is that so important to not only to your business, but let's just say to business, period?
Because there's been times where I've been in my career, all I have my integrity. And the importance of integrity is showing you that you're a good business owner, you're trustworthy, that you're a trustworthy company. And so I operate our business on two principles: one, integrity, and two, authenticity. So when we're making big decisions as a team or as a company, that is kind of the pillar of my decision making. Are we being authentic, and are we doing this with integrity, or are we having integrity and doing it authentically? So integrity for me is paramount. It's everything. It's the core of who I am. If I tell you I'm going to be there at 5 o'clock on the corner of 164th Street, I will be there in the pouring rain. I will be there at 5 o'clock, 164th Street, because that is my integrity. That's my word. My dad taught me growing up, your word is your bond. Like, your word is stronger than any handshake. No, he used to say to me, no, your word is stronger than any contract. And my word is stronger. And of course, we have contracts in place because, we're a business, but my integrity and my word, that's everything. That's the core of who we are. So if we tell a client, listen, we're going to get this project done. It's a tough project, but we're going to get it done. It is our integrity to get it done. Our integrity is on the line. Also, being a Black-owned business, we always have to have even a higher amount of integrity to get in the door, quite honestly. But with that aside, yeah, it's just a cornerstone of who I am.
And what about the business are you most passionate?
My people, yeah, I love them. I love them. I do truly love them. And for me, it feels so good to employ other people who need sometimes flexibility. We have all kinds of people who work at Ebony, right? Like, we have a lot of moms who, I know between the hour 1 and 3 o'clock, I'm not calling them because they're doing pickup. And that's okay, because I'm probably doing that too, somebody else at Ebony who needs to go to the doctor, that time, and we can't do a team meeting and whatever the case may be. So I'm passionate about the people that work. And I don't say for me, because that's just like so ridiculous. With me. With me. Because we're all in it together and we're all moving together. One team, one body. That's kind of how we look at it. We work really well together. And I'm crazy about the folks. So that's who I'm passionate about, that making an impact for them. And like, we have a lot of folks that younger people that work on transit work for us. And it's great when it's like, they may not have gotten a job elsewhere, but they have a home with us. They have a home at Ebony. We meet you where you are. So wherever you are in your life, we'll meet you there. And we can work on things to get you to that next place, into that next level. So, it's great to hear that, oh wow, such and such used to live with their parents and now they have their own apartment, or now they're working on that, or it's just a really good feeling to make an impact in people's a direct impact in people's lives. And I think that's what I'm most passionate about. That's what keeps me going, really, is impacting others and being a part of the community.
So tell me a little bit so we can understand how your business works. So let's say a brand contacts you because let's say they have a new product they want to take to market. And then you go about doing the research for them. Do you do surveys or how does that whole process work?
So a brand will come, let's say, and say, I want to figure out how Latinos think about this new lipstick shade. And I'm going to keep it simple, because there's all different other kinds of things that we do. I'm just going to keep it simple. And we're like, okay, great. And they would say, well, we think our target audience for this particular lipstick shade is between the ages of 18 to 34. Okay, great. And a lot of the people that purchase this reside, in the California area. Okay, great. So then what we would do is we would go reach out to those to the demographic, the actual demographics, which would be Latinos between the ages of 18 to 34 living in the West Coast area, And we would do an interview with them or a focus group with them and ask them, what do you think about this shade? Should it be lighter? Should it be darker? What about the applicator that it's in? Is this big enough? Is this small enough? How do you see yourself using this? Then we take that information back to the client and say, hey, listen, a lot of people say that they like this lipstick shade, but it'll be better if it was in a different applicator. And then they'll go ahead and, based on the research, hopefully, change the product based on what the research dictates. So we also do that, for instance, with nonprofit organizations. We were doing some HIV/AIDS work with persons living with HIV in the transgender community in Harlem. And they were testing, not testing out, but they wanted to know how folks felt about a particular medication. So we talked to that target audience about what the medication, about the medication, how often you needed to take it. They gave us our feedback and we brought that back to the nonprofit agency. It's really cool too when you see your work like on billboards and stuff, like when you do ad testing, because sometimes you test ads and you're like, is this ad going to resonate with this community? The other day I was in Queens and I saw one of the ads that we worked on and I was like, it was really cool and exciting. So that's basically what we do. And we could do focus groups, we could do surveys, we could do ethnographies, which are in-home interviews. But based on who we're talking to and what we're talking about, that's when we come up with the actual research methodology. So
Okay.
it's custom. It's
Okay.
different, right? So if we're talking about lipstick, then yeah, we'll do a focus group probably. But if we're talking about persons living with HIV/AIDS, then we'll probably do a one-on-one, right? That kind of thing.
So, what has been your proudest moment as a CEO?
The consistency of what I do every day, nothing big, no big award, no big, none of that. Just I'm proud and grateful that I get to do what I love every day and impact others and put food on, help feed other people's families and my own. That's my
Nice.
proudest moment.
And on the other hand, what do you think has been the toughest decision that you've had to make? And let's say in the last few years. The reason I say the last few years, because we know 2020 was a trying time for everyone. And some people had to make tough decisions during that time, about that in regards to their business. Did you face anything like that? And what was your toughest decision? Not just pandemic related, but just in general, if there was one.
Yeah, I'm actually dealing with a tough decision now, and details to follow on that. I'm meditating and praying on it and seeing how that all shakes out. But aside from that, there's no one little, there hasn't been one big tough decision. There's been many little ones. Like during the day, like, are we gonna, should we pivot the company this way or that way? Or, should we accept this project? It's so interesting because there hasn't been like one major thing that's like, oh wow, this is gonna totally turn the trajectory of my business. It's just been like all the little things. And that's, to me, that's what business is. It's like the consistency, the everyday of the little stuff that happens. That's like, okay, we're going this way or we're going that way kind of thing. So there's many tough decisions that I make on a everyday basis that gets fatiguing sometimes.
I know your mother's been a huge influence on you, but what most influenced you, other than your mother's example, that you wanted to be an entrepreneur? What spurred that?
Well, I had three jobs in my life and I got fired from all three within the first 2 weeks. That wasn't a sign. I don't know what a sign was. It was pretty much that this may not any make any sense, but some birds aren't meant to be caged. Like I just feel like I just need to be out there expressing myself and just I've always felt that from a little girl. I always had my own business, like growing up. For instance, I did the cookie thing. I sold lemonade. I sold cookies. I used to sell my sister's secrets for a dollar.
Oh my God.
Terrible, I know. I was terrible, but it's terrible. And we're best of friends now, but she wasn't happy with me for a long time. But, yeah, and it's like I come from a My mom's a big influence, but also my grandmother, who I never met, she was a big influence on me. She was a business owner. I come from three generations of business of Black business owner women. My grandmother in Costa Rica, my grandfather was a baker, but they had two bakeries in Costa Rica back in the days, like in the 40s, 30s, 40s. They had two bakeries, and my grandfather was the muscle of, he was the baker, but my grandmother was the businesswoman. She was the one cutting deals, buying flour at a cheaper price, da 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 da. Then hence my mom, and then hence me. So I think it's just legit in my blood. And hearing those stories of her and how she's like, in the 30s, 40s as a woman running a business in another country is so I don't even know like who else isn't it like my mom, of course, my grandmother is an influence to me, of course, being a small business owner, but I just can't help it. It's just I think it's in my blood. I see it in my boys. Yeah, my older one, he just started selling candy and like Legos at school. I don't even know if that's legal, but we'll find out. He did his first sale 2 days ago. He was so proud of himself. He bought Legos for $2 and sold it for five. I said, that's great. And
What a profit, right?
he's doing, yeah, he's doing well for himself. So I think it's in his blood too.
One last thing. What would you like to see in the future of your company?
The future of Ebony is, more people working there. We're growing very rapidly. So the future is more having more employees at Ebony. So the company's impacting more lives. And then also continuing to do good work, continuing to do work in the social science field. Continue to do work that is directly impacting communities. A couple of years ago, I started, actually, that's kind of a decision that I made. It wasn't a hard decision, but it was kind of a decision that I was like, I want to do more work that impacts communities. And I started thinking about it over and over and over. And then that thought became like a mantra. And then that mantra became a prayer. And that prayer became a reality where we started doing more work that impacts communities, like the persons living with HIV, like Black women breastfeeding, and those kind of things. So I want us to do more work that is impacting communities directly.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Diversity Discourse, the official podcast of Minority Business Entrepreneur Magazine. We hope you enjoyed it. Please be sure to subscribe so that we can join you again. For more tips and notes from the show, check us out at mbemag.com. And to find out which guests and topics we'll be discussing next, sign up for our newsletter at mbemag.com/pulse. That's mbemag.com/pulse. We'll talk to you next time.